No, we can keep it going. It's okay. It's okay. Okay. Hey, everybody. My name is Tim Murdoch. Welcome to Happy Horror Time, the podcast. I'd like to mention our favorite. Obviously, I'm a little rusty. Matt, don't you dare start it over again. We're keeping everything.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, this is golden.
I don't want it to be professional at all.
And oh, you don't have to worry about that. Sorry, go on. Do your intro.
Corona. Oh dear. You know, my podcast is very topical. You know, mentioning the virus. Okay, so welcome. Matt and I have taken off a year.
look, we want to let you guys know, all zero of you that are listening,
yes,
that we are going to continue to do this at least annually.
Yearly.
Yearly. Yes. Not annually, yearly.
I am proud of the people that are my friends, that are podcasters, that can do this once a week.
And
good job.
I've got to agree. We have friends that do episodes every week. Even if you do it every month, you've gotten us beaten by 12.
Yeah.
By 12.
Because I think last time, you know what? We're not completely horrible. We did it in April.
Oh, 11 months. Sorry. You're right. Mm-hmm. And before that, I think it had been like 6 months before. So if we average this, we'll probably reach 50 episodes by the time we die.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'd be a great collection to look back on, like a baby book.
No, the truth is, we were having trouble because everybody wants to know. So Tim's laptop is ancient. And
a decade, I think.
And we were having trouble getting the microphones to work correctly. And then Tim brought the computer over today and suddenly it worked. And now we're doing it.
Yeah, like, we're literally doing it.
For months we've been saying, hey, let's do one. And then it wouldn't work. But guess what? Now
it's so frustrating, though, because I think we want to pick up my MacBook Pro 2 from 2010 and throw it out the window.
Oh, it's 2010.
Yeah, it has, like, you can watch movie, you could slide CDs on the side.
My computer's from 2013, and I thought that was fucking old. So
would you stop bragging?
But it's working. But it'd be great as if we recorded this entire thing and then nothing got recorded.
Which I think we've done that before.
We definitely have.
Yeah.
Anyway, wait, did you do the intro?
I did. Oh, I said, welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name's Tim Murdoch. Let me introduce you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If you haven't listened to the other 12 podcasts, or I don't know however many there are, I'm here with my good friend and co-host for the evening, Mr. Matthew Emmert.
Hi everyone. It sounded like there should be applause there, but if we ever edited things, yeah, we could put it applause.
We don't have that kind of time.
Woo!
And you know, we're not going to fact check anything.
No. In fact, we probably won't even give the right details, the right release dates, the right actors, the right actresses.
But what we will do is spoil the
end. Yes, remember our thing? Yeah. Our line is we spoil everything.
Yeah, so if you like, I'm sorry, I had a bubble in my throat.
Ew.
I just had Chinese food.
Oh, first off, it was Thai, you racist. But you did have, okay, you had fried rice, so I guess that could be a Chinese food
item. It was good.
But I had pad see you, which is very Thai.
Who's pad see you?
Anyway, so it's been a year, which means we could talk about like a million movies, but we wanted to keep it topical.
Very, so... Oh my God, my throat.
What's wrong with you, Corona?
No. It's like I was eating that rice and chicken so fast.
Really fast.
I was like,
he sucked that shit down.
Matt, please don't.
Keep it PG-13.
That's right. I've got many 13-year-old listeners.
Yeah, I know. No, don't we click explicit because there's cussing? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what we do.
Oh. Well, I don't know. It's been 11 months. I guess we won't
know. But I hope the teens love listening to Happy Horror Time, the podcast. Mm-hmm. What was I saying?
Were we going to talk about the movies? Do you want to fill people in on what's been going on?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the past year, I've had 7 boyfriends. I adopted a baby. No, I didn't
and
do any of those
things. None of us is
no,
true.
I think we were just, we finished our movie when we last talked to him, and I think we got into one festival, and now we've gotten 6 festivals for our horror short.
I think 7, actually.
7? Oh,
were we in 6 or 7? I can't remember. I think it was 7. 7, yeah, yeah, it was 7. We had just finished... I think we just had the premiere for the horror short that Tim and I did back in April of last year. And throughout last year, we attended...
Sacramento?
We got into 7 film festivals, some horror, some LGBTQ. We attended a few. We went to one in Sacramento. We went to 2 in New York. We went to... Did we go somewhere else?
Yes.
Where? I can't
Sacramento,
remember.
Sacramento, New York.
I think we just went to New York, two of them, and then, oh, and Palm Springs.
Palm Springs. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. But anyway, it's been a crazy year.
Shout out to Palm Springs.
Yeah, we still have a few more festivals we're waiting on, but it's pretty much, you know, sort of the end of the road for Come In, but it's been a really good run. And if you haven't seen the movie, which nobody listening has because we didn't make it release.
You know, the three people that might be listening have seen it. Maybe not.
The good news is for everyone that's wondering is that once we're done with film festivals, then we can just like release it online. We can put it on YouTube and it can be available to anyone. So
we probably will
every single day. But it would be fun to like even post it on Facebook depending if we decide.
Or we could just send it to the people we like.
Exactly. Or all the listeners. Did we even say we made a horror short that involved all gay characters, and it was basically like a 70s, 80s slasher type movie with a masked killer related to hookup apps and how easily people are lured places by them. That's basically all you need to know. It's called Come In, and it stars both of us, including other people.
Yes.
And it was just kind of like our homage to movies we loved, like Halloween and Friday the 13th, while having like a gay twist, because everyone needs a gay twist,
right? Hang on. I like totally have something in my throat.
Ew, coronavirus.
Sorry. No. It's honestly not that. At least I don't know. I mean, according to COVID-19.
COVID. Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah. Anyway.
I should not make light of that.
We probably shouldn't, because a year from now when we do the next episode, it could have killed off the entire population.
Like the movie 28 Days Later. The first one was 28 days.
And then it was 28 years, right? Was it 28 weeks? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like zombie movies that much.
I don't either. Not my thing. I mean, I'll watch him for sure, though.
Not my movie, baby.
Not my movie, baby. JLC.
Oh, JLC, our favorite. Okay, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's dive right in.
It's funny because we could talk about bullshit forever, which is people, you know, but I figure 7 minutes of bullshit is
7 minutes in heaven. Have you seen the movie starring Jennifer Connelly?
That's an actual movie?
Mm-hmm. From the 80s?
Have you heard of, I've got 7 minutes to say the world? Oh, wait, it's 4 minutes.
Yeah, with Justin Timberlake and Madonna.
Got it. Justin Timberlake. Wait, who did the halftime show this year?
J-Lo and Shakira.
J-Lo and Shakira.
Yes. Shakira.
They were great, by the way.
I know, I watched it.
Anyway, yes, they had.
Did you watch the game, though?
Hell no.
Could you tell me who were the two teams?
Wait. Oh, fuck.
It's okay.
No, but judgment. I know. I know one of them was... like a Midwestern team because Jacob was...
Ohio State.
No, it wasn't Ohio State because Jacob wanted them to win. And I can't remember. Was it Kansas City?
Sure.
I have no idea. Yes, because Trump thanked the state of Kansas, even though they're in Missouri.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So let's start off with our first film. Let's do Fantasy Island. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah, that came out about...
Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah. Did you spend Valentine's Day watching Fantasy Island?
No, I went to Big Bear with my boyfriend, Jacob. It's funny, we have been together now a year and a half, so the last, I think, have we been doing podcasts since before I was with Jacob?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I remember when he was new and we were doing podcasts, but we're still together, so...
Yeah, congratulations.
So he must have seen something in me worthwhile.
Relationships are hard, right?
They are definitely hard, but they are also worth it. So anyway, but this is not, we did not see it that week, and we saw it the next week.
Yeah.
But, okay, so should we give a quick little summary?
Sure.
I don't even know.
You can do it.
I think it's loosely based off, was Fantasy Island a TV show?
It was. And I mean, we're talking really loose. I don't even know.
As loose as...
A goose.
Yes, a goose. No, so I think they just used that name, but basically it's a Blumhouse movie, so of course that piqued our interest, but,
right.
A bunch of people go to an island for they think they won like a vacation there and where their fantasy slash wish comes true. But of course, there's like a twist and everything goes wrong and it turns into kind of a horror show. I don't know. What did you think? Give me an initial thoughts.
Okay, I went in. I got some popcorn. We got really good seats. So there's that. So we're halfway there. Mm-hmm. And then the movie started and my eyes were rolling because PG-13, I think in better hands. Actually, the director's so hot, by the way.
Who's the director?
Jeff Wadlow. Wadlow?
What? We're not going to check it. What has he directed?
Cry Wolf in 2005.
Okay.
And fun fact, I ran a marathon with him.
And he's gay?
No, he's straight. But check him out. Google Jeff Wadlow, director, sexy.
Okay, so he's hot.
Sex. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And so, okay, my experience watching the movie, I really, really wanted to like it and support him. But my eyes were rolling. But, you know, so, I don't know if it's his fault. I mean, he had to make a PG-13 movie. I will say I liked Lucy Hale in it.
Well, so you, as usual, are a lot nicer than I am. I thought it was one of the worst movies I've seen in the last, like, year. I've got to be honest. Like, there have been some stinkers horror-wise in the last few months. We're not going to go into it because it was a number of months ago, but the Black Christmas remake was a disaster. Like, I mean, it was like a mockery of the Me Too movement. Like, it was just awful.
It was just a mockery of film.
Yeah, The Turning was the most frustrating disaster.
You know, I'm gonna give that movie, you know, a little credit just because it kept my interest for the first half hour. But if you go see The Turning in like the last 5 minutes of that movie,
when it ended, everybody was like, that's the ending. It was one of those. But to get to Fantasy Island, yes. The reason why I thought it sucked so badly was that, and I told you this, I think it reminded me of the screenplay. Felt like it was like a group of college kids wrote a screenplay the night before it was due, didn't check it over, and just turned it in. And what I mean is because there were so many like plot holes, so many things that didn't make sense, so many parts, like it had a twist ending that wouldn't have made sense if you actually watched the movie. It just reminded me like someone wrote it and they're like, just deal with it. Like it was just so badly written. All the characters were shit. It was just like, I mean, I like Lucy Hale as an actress.
I think Lucy Hale is, you know, this is my takeaway from the movie. I can watch Lucy Hale in anything.
Well, Scream 4. Opening scene.
No, but
of
I mean,
Scream
like,
4.
But even her friend, her blonde friend, she was from Carrie. Unrecognizable.
Oh,
the
yeah, the bully.
Of Carrie.
Well, actually, I forgot that we spoiled things, so I can say what happened.
Yeah,
so this is why the ending was so bad. Like, so everyone comes there, and their fantasies are all become sort of twisted. Like, Lucy Hale is there, and she wants to get revenge on her high school bully, but, like, then it becomes violent, and she didn't want it. And, like, everyone that wants something, it kind of
like
twists.
Fantasies will come true.
Yeah, but it has like a weird twist. It's almost like you don't want to, like, you, what's the saying? Not you get what you wish for, but be careful what you wish for.
Yes.
Because it always turns out bad. But anyway.
But the people walk through their fantasies and are like, well, how
is this working? Yeah. Well, okay, so here's the first plot hole. First, like, these fantasies are coming true because you think there's some like alien goo that's turning into fake people. Then it becomes that they all, it's not their fantasies that are coming true. They all were actually brought there because someone's fantasy was to get revenge on all of them. Then the very end, this is why it sucked so badly, is that the person behind the whole thing was Lucy Hale, and the whole fantasy of her getting back at her bully was all just a setup for her really getting revenge on all the people that didn't help her, the guy she was dating, from dying from a fire in a building.
So they're all like guilty of her,
like,
I
negligence.
Can't even say her boyfriend, like, right? Wasn't it boyfriend?
Well, it was just
yet.
Someone she went on a date with. She was nuts. But this is why I hated it. So you see all these scenes of her going through with this fake fantasy of getting revenge on the bully, when if her whole plot the whole time wasn't that, why was she going along with that fake plot? Like, it didn't make any sense. When it turned.
I felt, yeah, like when the twist kept coming, and like at the end it was like, twist, 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 twist.
But when it twisted to her, I was like, here's the thing. If you're going to have a twist in a movie, it's totally fine, but you have to make sure that the movie would have made sense. Like when you have a whodunit and it's like a twist, you have to make sure the whole movie holds up.
It was no Knives Out.
But I mean, it's just like, it literally, like I said, I feel like they put it together at the last minute. They're like, is this going to make sense with the script? No, don't worry. Just deal with it.
Like, we're done.
Yeah, exactly. And Maggie Q, I actually really like Maggie Q. I think she's beautiful.
I felt like she's very soap.
She's just so polished. She's just beautiful. Yeah. But first off, I don't know how they got her for the movie. Like, her fantasy first is she regrets not accepting a proposal of her boyfriend, and then they broke up. So in the fantasy land, she accepts it, and then it flash forward 5 years later and she has a kid with him and all's fine. Then she says, no, that's not my biggest regret. It's that I didn't do more to save this guy from the fire. And it changes course. Like, the whole movie keeps changing course. It just was so frustrating.
I think it tried to be like, look what we made, like Fantasy Island, there's so many twists and turns. But you can have twists and turns, but it also has to make sense.
Or exactly.
I think what happened to both of us, we're just like, we're done.
Well, it was like after a number of twists and turns, when it just doesn't make sense, it sucks. But and then there was the guy from Veronica Mars. I think it's Ryan Hansen. Is that his
name?
Yeah, the blonde.
Very good looking.
Very good looking guy. But playing, and I'm sorry, Ryan Hansen, you're playing the same character in everything. He's always like the dimwit kind of like jockey type.
Does it even work?
But like, here's the thing. He has his brother, who is an adopted brother, the Asian guy, and I forget what his name was in the movie. I can't remember what Ryan Hansen is.
Calling each other bro.
They kept like pushing that they were brothers so much because they knew it was weird, and like, and then they were trying to make dumb jokes, and it's like comedy
all
was
of their,
bad.
All of their jokes, like it, there was. All their jokes fell flat.
Wasn't their fantasy, what was it like to have it all or something?
Yeah, like, they had girls in bikinis.
Yeah, but he was, no, the Asian brother was
gay.
Okay,
that's
so
right.
He had like guys a little off, but it just was so, like all the characters. Was there any character you liked?
Lucy Hale?
Maggie, I liked Maggie Q.
Oh, Maggie Q was fine. Lucy Hale was fine. The blonde girl
But Lucy
was fine.
Hale was the killer.
Like, that's fine. I can still like her.
No, I know. It was just so bad. And then the very end, they had this like tiny tie to the TV show because
the plane.
Well, the Asian brother has to stay on the island because Ryan Hansen in one of the fantasies gets killed, and the only way for him to be alive is if the brother stays on the
island
forever. And he, I wish I could remember their names. So I'm not calling him the blonde guy and the Asian guy because that's awful. But like, I can't remember their names because none of the characters were
memorable.
Redeemable. But he stays on the island, and then remember he calls him. What is the name he calls him at the end? It's the name of the little guy from the series.
Yes, the plane.
But what's it? Well, it was a tattoo, and he's like, "I'm gonna call you." I don't know. Yeah. It was just like.
No,
again,
I think after our, no one's gonna see the movie after our recommendation.
I mean, and it's just like. Not, I swear I don't, I reserve this type of criticism for like the worst. It really was bad. Like it was bad.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Visually a good looking movie, well made, but just the story, yeah, you know, I'm sure they thought they were like, oh, we're on to something, but it went nowhere. It really went nowhere.
And it just, I mean, I guess it's a tough plot to do, but sorry. Like,
maybe,
it was just, it's not going to be one of Blumhouse's, you know, when they say from the producers of, and they say like their top movies, it's usually Get Out and Halloween. They're not going to be putting from the producers of Fantasy Island anywhere.
No,
we can say that, you know?
I don't even think it made any money, but I, you know, God forbid I check.
I think it came out, it's got to last in the theaters maybe a week, two weeks tops.
Should we move on to another great movie?
I think so, because I don't want to take any more time on that shithole.
That's hilarious.
Shithole.
Okay, so our next movie is called Brahms, The Boy 2.
From the people who, you probably, if you're wondering, was there a boy one? Yes, there was.
Yes.
In 2016, it was a horror movie with Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie on The Walking Dead, and it was about... The original boy was about like this doll that these family is keeping, and they have this caretaker take care of a doll, and she's like, why am I taking care of a doll? And the whole movie sets it up like you think the doll may be alive, almost like Annabelle, like supernaturally. At the very end, this is of the first movie, it's a big twist because actually the doll's not alive. There's someone who's living in the walls who the doll was designed after. Yeah, the doll was designed after, and he's actually the one doing stuff and trying to kill her and everything. It was actually a good movie.
I liked it. And that's why I was excited. But the real reason I wanted to see the Brahms, the boy too, was because Katie Holmes is the star of it. I love Katie Holmes. I loved her in Dawson's Creek.
I do
Teaching
too.
Mrs. Tingle.
I loved her in Disturbing Behavior, The Gift.
One more.
She was in that movie about like tobacco with, remember?
Thank You
like,
for Not Smoking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's all I got.
We know Katie. I do love Katie Holmes too.
I love
Joey
Katie
Potter.
Holmes, and I was excited to see her in a movie that I would actually see anyway. But, oh, wow.
Wait, you start because you'll
so
do the mild review.
I was totally excited to see Katie Holmes. And you know what? It starts off really strong. Like she's taking care of her son in this really nice, I want to say Seattle, but I don't think it was Seattle.
Why did I think it was New York or Chicago?
It looked like a nice, you know, like very hip apartment. And like Katie Holmes is watching her son, and like the husband's not there. Oh, by the way, the husband, don't know who he is. Very good looking.
Yeah, but I feel like he's like British or Australian.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you one thing he was in, but he's good looking and he gets the job done.
Mm-hmm. So, by job.
And I mean, like the acting job in the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So they're home alone and like they get robbed by two people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, actually, I thought that was more scary than any of the rest of the movie.
It sucks because, well, it was the opening scene, but it literally had nothing to do with the plot
or the doll. It brought them to move out to where...
Oh, yeah. But I guess I'm saying that, like, if the scariest part has nothing to do with the doll, which is the main scary part of the movie. But I agree. The opening scene was pretty scary. The robbing and...
It was good. It was like, ooh, this is a good movie.
And then it went downhill from there.
Okay, so here's the problem. With whenever you have a doll, people expect Chucky. They want talking. This doll does effing nothing.
Well, except the eyes move back and forth. Ooh.
Yeah, which was okay, spooky once. But I feel like, you know, we've seen this as an audience. We're like, oh my God. Like, you know, the movie it could have been a TV movie.
Well, I agree. I totally agree. Here's the thing that ruined it for me. Like I just said with my long-winded explanation of the first boy, the whole magic of the boy, the original, was that it wasn't supernatural. It made you think it was, and then the whole time you find out all the things that you think are moving and the doll's doing was actually a person living in the walls. And I don't know about you, but it's easier for me to think...
I thought that was effective.
Well, it's easier for me to be scared by a person than a doll.
Right.
Well... Okay, we're going to this one. It's a sequel, so we're thinking, okay, I guess the person is in the wall again or something. No, this one, suddenly the doll is possessed and is supernatural and moving on its own. So it literally completely changed the story.
Oh, and like another thing is like her son, since the robbery, the attack, he doesn't talk, so he uses like a notebook to talk. And
So
when you only have three people in the movie and like the dad's barely in it, so it's basically just Katie Holmes. The movie is honestly just a series of looks of her being suspicious.
I will say this, and I feel like you're gonna agree with me on this. I thought Katie Holmes did well.
She's
like
great.
I mean, she did well.
She looks great. I was into it. But it's like
I wanted to see something
we haven't seen before.
I just felt like I thought it was going to be a true sequel in that it was going to be something related to a person.
It kind of was.
It was in terms of the doll, but like if in the first movie the doll's not alive and in the second movie it is, like it just doesn't feel
but
right.
But they didn't even go like the full length of that. Like it wasn't until the end that the doll...
Well, you don't actually, and I think because it's so, it looks so ridiculous when the doll stands up and is moving, like they save that till
the
end.
Dog,
but that's the thing, like here's the reason why like the Annabelle movies are so effective is because you rarely see the doll actually move. You're just sitting there waiting for something to happen.
Did Annabelle ever move?
No, and that's what is so effing scary. You are, you know, well, who is it to say you're more scared by what, like, your mind creates versus what you actually see? It's almost why it's so much scarier when you don't see a killer, because once you do, it's not as scary. So, you know, when you think something's moving or not, or you don't know, like, that's scarier. But, like, at the very end of this movie, they finally all catch the doll, like, standing up, and it, like, is coming after them, and it becomes, like, just
the
a bad
face
Chucky.
Breaks, and then it's like, there was, like, a skull?
A weird demon underneath or something.
It all just wrapped up very nicely.
Yeah, it did. It was quickly. Like, it was, again, it started, like, the best it could have been was the beginning, and then it slowly goes downhill, and the ending is, like, the worst. Like, it's fine if movies plateau, but...
like, they took the easy way out. They're like, oh, we'll do Supernatural.
I guess I feel like maybe they thought we can't repeat the same formula as
they
the first one, which
I
they could have.
Fine. I was like, listen, have you seen Friday the 13th? They do the same thing every
no,
time.
No, I know. Exactly. I don't know why... it's just so weird that they made the decision, hey, and this one will make the doll alive. Like, first off, it's been done so many times before, and then secondly, the first one worked well because it didn't have the doll. But I guess they figured they can't do the same twist, so I don't know. Maybe they thought it was a twist to have the doll alive. I don't know.
And not only that, it was PG-13, right?
I mean, it's got to be. What? Like, was there any blood in it?
That little kid fell on the croquet stick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's another thing. Nobody died. And again, I'm not some morbid person,
right,
but it is a horror movie.
It didn't have a body count.
I mean, I wonder
that dog killing everybody.
Zero. Oh, yeah, the dog died. The dog. One dog dead. But I mean, what horror movie? Zero people dead.
Wait, so the doll killed the dog.
The doll killed the dog, and that was it.
That was it.
Like, literally zero body count. I mean, you can have a PG-13 movie.
So no one was really at any risk, because I think everyone could pick up that doll and kill it.
Well, the doll, of course. Like the doll kept... So as the movie goes on, the kid who's not speaking, and I agree, was really frustrating, because like it just felt like just a bad plot point. Like, the kid keeps writing things like, Brahms doesn't want you to do this, Brahms doesn't. And finally, Katie Holmes is like, well, Brahms doesn't make the rules. Like, he's right. a doll.
Yeah.
But apparently he's not a doll. He's a weird, like, burnt skull. Wasn't he like a burnt?
Yeah, like there was flesh underneath the doll.
I just feel like, well, first off, please don't make a third movie, people. Like, please, you already ruined it with the second.
You
like,
know, actually, go ahead and make a third. I'll see it.
Brahms, the boy three. But I mean,
did the movie make any money?
I feel like I could reach for my phone and look it up, but
no, we're not that.
I'm
kind
gonna
of
play by the assumption that it's probably still not even showing in theaters. When did it come out? End of February, right?
Well, okay, Fantasy Island came out
Valentine's
on the 14th.
Day.
It came out, I think, a week later, right?
Oh yeah, they both. I mean, stinkers. But if you had to pick between the two,
I think I would go with The Boy 2, because it was what I expected. It's what I wanted. It was eerie, and it had Katie Holmes, and it just made. It made a lot more sense than Fantasy Island.
I would say this. I would agree. I'd say The Brahms 2 is worth watching for free on a streaming service. Fantasy Island isn't even worth watching.
What do you think? This is what I recommend. If you are curious about Fantasy Island, just look at pictures of the director on Instagram.
If you're curious about Fantasy Island, just look at the hot director.
Right.
I will say, because I didn't hate The Boy 2. I didn't leave it saying it was a waste. It just wasn't that great. But I enjoyed it enough, I guess.
That's a good way to say it.
So sad.
My movie going experience, I enjoyed it enough.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's just sad because, like I was saying, like, there have been a lot of shitty horror movies that have come out over the last four months.
What was the one we watched at the beginning of the year? It was like underwater and there were aliens and it starred Kristen Stewart.
Underwater. What was that movie? They were underwater. Wait, was that good? That was pretty good, right? That was pretty good-ish.
You know, I thought it would lead to something bigger and better, but it left me wanting more, I guess.
Wait, and was there a January 3rd? I thought, we didn't even see it. Did you even see The New Grudge?
No.
I didn't either.
I heard
such bad stuff about, but Tim and I will see literally anything.
Yeah.
The fact that we had some friends who said it was absolutely horrible, and I think because we must have just missed it because it was around the holidays, right?
Yeah, I think we had intentions.
I would have seen it. I would have seen it, but it really has been a string of really bad horror movies, which leads us into the next one because it literally ended the curse and the bad streak. Yeah. Tim.
The movie?
The movie!
I'm sorry. I ate my food so fast that I'm literally dying over here. So
are you coughing it up?
Well, I mean, I can. We're doing a podcast.
No, I mean,
Well, okay, so if you heard that, just pretend we edited it out, okay? Okay, so what I was saying was I ate my food too fast. But the next movie that we are going to talk about and praise... Okay.
Endlessly.
Is because... As Matt just said, we just saw a lot of
shit.
And so when I sat down, first off, we were in IMAX.
Oh, wait, you haven't even said what the movie is yet.
I know.
Oh, good.
Big reveal,
build it, build it.
So we sat down in IMAX.
Yeah, I think it was even one step more. It was like
was
IMAX.
It
was called IMAX Laser.
Yeah,
it was a new AMC theater. By the way, tickets for that. Luckily, Tim and I have AMC stubs, so it's just a monthly fee. But tickets for that, I looked up $21.99,
which is a bargain.
I mean, like that is ridiculous. We pay $23 a month for unlimited movies, so that's
ridiculous. Crazy? When I was younger, I remember seeing Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise, and it was like $5, and I remember being like, oh my God.
I remember there was a theater the town over from mine that had $3 movies every day.
Wow.
And this isn't like the 1940s. This is like the 1990s.
I think I saw Cats, by the way. And I remember I went to the Arclight and I think my ticket was $17. Thanks to AMC, I will never go back.
But that's the thing, like, $17 is bad enough, but $21.99, like, really, imagine, like, hey, you want to see a movie? $21.99.
Yeah. When I saw, what's the movie with Lady Gaga in
Star is Born.
Okay, I saw A Star is Born in that theater also, like the same IMAX, whatever. It was good. I don't know where I was going with that.
How? What? Did you feel shallow?
I did, and I sang along.
I'm on the end, watch as I dive in.
Oh, I didn't like that movie.
You know, okay, you still wait. Go back to this movie worth it.
Yeah, okay. So the buildup was that Matt and I loved an Invisible Man. It's A Invisible Man?
It's the Invisible Man.
I'm just gonna say A Invisible Man.
Just A. Nothing special. Just one of many.
Invisible Man.
One of many.
No, we saw The Invisible Man and I loved it.
It was fucking great. I know I'm saying fucking.
I want everyone to see it.
Now Blumhouse totally redeemed itself, and literally both Tim and I walked out saying this was one of the best suspense movies. I think it'd be considered a suspense thriller, not a horror. I don't know why, but different. But either way, one of the best suspense thrillers I've seen in years.
Do you know the name of the director?
Lee Wharton.
Wendell.
Lee Wharton.
He directed Saw.
He was the star
in it, right?
He was the young guy in Saw opposite Cary Elwes, your alias.
I love when people compare me to him.
I mean, that's good, right? But are we talking Cary Elwes now or Cary Elwes from The Crush with Alicia Silverstone?
Well, I'm going to go with Crush with Alicia Silverstone.
The Invisible Man, apparently, The Invisible Man was like a movie from, like, I think the 1930s or something.
Or the Chevy Chase, Daryl Hannah one from 1992.
So there's been, you know, and that was like a comedy, right? So this was it's just based on the concept, but a completely different story and a total horror movie. Basically, this woman.
When the movie started, did you think it was just like Sleeping with the Enemy?
I leaned over to Jacob and said Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah,
yes.
I loved it. I loved the whole beginning. Go on.
Everything was great. So, okay. So just to give you the plot summary for anyone who hasn't seen the previews and they've been everywhere.
Living under a rock.
The main star is Elizabeth Moss, who no joke.
Scientologist. Go on.
Yes. Her performance was incredible. Like, I'm talking like Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs. Incredible. Of course, she'll never
Leah
get
Thompson,
an award.
Jaws 3.
I'm talking Tara Reid in Body Shots. Incredible.
Yes!
I'm being serious. I know this feels like I'm exaggerating, but her performance was like, I thought a war. I mean, it was as good or if not better than any like Handmaid's Tale performance.
Oh my gosh,
like,
yeah, I don't
she,
even watch that
the
show
emotion again. She showed. Anyway, so it's about this woman. She is obviously in an abusive relationship, emotionally, physically abusive.
They don't
with
even
this,
show it, which actually
they don't
made
show,
it more
but
scary.
You know, but with this rich, rich scientist who, you know, the movie, there's no like buildup. It just starts right in there, and she's trying to escape, sleeping with the enemy style, in the middle of the night from this horrible, horrible person that she's terrified of, and she's able to escape. Then she finds out that he supposedly committed suicide. And she thinks, she's finally free. But then she starts noticing weird things. Like, she feels like there's someone watching or someone in the room. And he was a really rich optical scientist.
Yeah, so she inherits $5 million.
Yeah, she inherits all this money, but it's contingent on the fact that she's not deemed to be insane or she doesn't commit a crime. So apparently the boyfriend was always incredibly controlling. So she starts to figure out and she starts to think that he had created a suit to make himself invisible and to terrorize her to the point that she will go crazy. No one will believe her. And like literally doing everything he can just to fuck with her, like the ultimate revenge on her. Like, this guy is horrible. It does work, but let's first just say, from the beginning, the suspense was like, that first scene.
Level 10.
Yeah, level 10, just like you said, from the beginning, right? Like, I mean, didn't you feel like
when
there wasn't...
When she tripped, because spoiler, when she tripped on the dog dish, I jumped, and the guy next to me, who was seeing the movie by himself and very good looking...
It was the director of Fantasy Island.
Yes, his name, Jeff Wadlow. Look him up on Instagram.
I don't remember. Who were we with? It was you, me, Jacob,
boyfriend.
Hiko... But you said on the other side?
The other side of me.
Oh,
I don't know who he was.
Well, so she's trying to creep out of this humongous rich house. And, and it's like no sound, no music. And she keeps watching. So there's cameras everywhere. She keeps watching to make sure he's still asleep. Like, the director was so good. Like, the camera angles, the suspense was so great. But even past that, every scene when she thinks someone's in the room, like everything, it's just done so well.
I agree.
We have to talk about, so since we spoil everything, in the middle of the movie, there's one like jaw-dropping, shocking scene.
Which one is it?
The restaurant scene with her sister.
Oh, yeah. I also thought when she... Okay, first off, she stays with this guy. He's very good looking.
Yes, and his daughter. It's her sister's... Her sister's a cop, and she's staying with her sister's friend, which I guess is her friend too, who's a cop. Him and his daughter, but there's no romantic connection between them, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, they could have.
It would have been weird because she was just coming off of an abusive relationship. Right, I don't know
that's true. She's not going to kiss him right away. You know what? No. Let's jump into this.
But okay, so to set the scene on this restaurant scene, so she is convinced that the guy is not dead, that he's figured out a way to be invisible and is basically coming after and haunting her. So she decides she's going to tell her sister this, and she knows
the sister's reluctant to meet with her because like he broke into her computer and wrote her really nasty email.
He basically wrote an email to the sister saying, I hope you die. I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with you.
Can you think of something more scary than like sending out emails like that?
I mean, the thing is that I feel like especially considering how horrible the email was, like, I feel like my sister would believe me if I said, like, I didn't write it someone. And especially with the amount of hacking that goes on today, you know. But with that said, the sister agrees to meet her. She says, I have to meet you at a public place. So they're in this, like, crowded restaurant. And she starts to tell her sister that she thinks the guy's invisible. And right as she's telling her, the knife... that she sees right next to her, a knife is floating right above her because, you know, the guy's invisible. And then it just slits her sister's throat. Sorry, there's a
Say it five times fast.
Slits her sister's throat right in the middle of the restaurant and literally in the middle of a conversation.
And then he throws it in her hand.
And then puts it in Elizabeth Moss's hand, and everyone in the restaurant starts screaming, thinking she just slit her sister's throat. So literally...
They tackle her to the ground.
Kills her sister in the middle of the conversation. No warning. Like, you're not expecting it. Jaw dropped.
Me too. And the blood was everywhere. I was like, holy God.
I mean, it's like if we were just talking and right now suddenly your throat was... But I mean, it was so unexpected. She's like, okay, so you know how I've told you that, like, out of nowhere, just slit the throat. And
I think it was so effective.
It was so effective, and it was just shocking.
Yeah.
And they take Elizabeth Moss to, like, a mental institution.
And didn't you think that's when the movie, like, was very reminiscent of Candyman?
Oh, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
At least for me.
Well, but the thing is, it kept getting better. Like, it doesn't let up. It keeps getting better. Like, talk about a movie that doesn't, you know, go downhill. There's a huge scene when finally, like, she's able to sort of figure out how to get him to be visible, and then he starts, like, going after everybody in the hospital as she's trying to escape, and then he's trying to come after the family that she's staying with. Like, there are so many good scenes, but then to even take it a notch up, the ending is so satisfying.
So good.
Should we? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I actually thought they were going to end the movie when she goes, surprise, and, like, boom, it's over. But I
wait, what did she say, surprise?
You remember, like, she kills him and she says surprise. Well, like, no, she goes, surprise. He says surprise to her, and then she says surprise back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
I thought the movie was going to go black right when she said surprise.
So, well, okay, just so for people who haven't seen it. So basically, when she finally stops the person in the invisible suit, and she uncovers it to be the abusive boyfriend's brother. And she's like, what? Like, no, it was the boyfriend. She knows the boyfriend. The boyfriend set it up so that it looked like his brother was doing it all and had kept him kidnapped the whole time. She knows deep down that is not the case. He just set him up at the end. So she goes to get her revenge on the boyfriend. She meets with him. And while he's not looking, she puts the suit on and as an invisible person slits his throat.
Yes.
And it is such a good ending because it's like she finally gets her revenge. And yeah, he says something that like...
triggers. Because he texted her when she was walking around the attic and it said surprise. So then we're like, oh, that's a callback to that.
Oh, yeah. She knows it was him the whole time because he says something that he said to her while texting as the invisible man. So she knows it really was him and not the brother the whole time. So then when she slits his throat, she says surprise.
It's such a satisfying ending.
It is. But the best is like she walks off and it's like such a female empowerment moment. She just like looks into the camera like finally exhales, like, aka she's finally free of him, and then she just walks off.
Yeah, I was happy with that ending, but I mean, I also would have been happy with just the prize and then the end. But I think she needed to have that little moment saying, like, I didn't do it. Like,
well,
she's free.
I think it was the first time, like, metaphorically, she could breathe again, because she was always terrified of him. Like, he controlled her. He watched everything
lipstick.
He did. She was wearing lipstick. She had a head tilt. Like, right. And so, like, no, but she, like, it was just such a satisfying movie. Like, I feel like, did people applause?
There might have been one or two.
Did I just
claps.
Say, did people applause? Did people
I left all the right? applause?
People clapped, I think once or twice. I know people clapped at the end when she got, because he was just such a horrible, it's like the Sleeping with the Enemy
here's
boyfriend.
My question for you. Would you think it'd be good if we didn't see it in a full theater? And do you think it'd be good seeing it a second time?
Well, I can answer both. I mean, it's always more fun seeing a movie in a full theater, because you can, like, the rush of the crowd, like, gets you excited. That's why I like seeing these. So would it be as fun? No. Would it be as good? Yes. And then to answer your second question, Hiko, one of our good friends who was with us, he was seeing it for the second time and he loved it just as much. He said that you can start to look for little things you may not have looked at because you know, like, where he is at different times. And so, yeah, I think it would be good. Like, this is the type of movie, like, I would watch on TV again. I would see it again. Like, it was fun. It was good. It was scary. Like, it was legitimately scary.
Yeah. Like, I haven't been scared at a movie in I don't know how long. I mean, I was scared.
You weren't scared of Black Christmas.
I was terrified that the movie was made.
That's good.
Thank you.
And the turning. I wanted to turning it off.
We saw Terminator this year.
Oh, that was last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, it was November.
Holy shit.
Oh, Terminator. I don't want to go there. It was good because I love Linda Hamilton, but it, like, as a movie,
no,
it was sort of weak. But this is really good. Like, if you have not seen it,
Never seen a movie in your life.
This one.
Yeah.
I mean, but really, like, hope, I know it's made a lot of money, but I want it to make even more. Like, do you think they would do a sequel? I feel like that would ruin it.
Of course they're going to do a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't that expensive, because it's not like they didn't. I mean,
no, I know it already made back. I think it made 30 or 35 million in its first weekend.
I mean,
I'm sure
it was a hard movie to make, but how do you up it?
The problem is, if it's her again in a sequel, like, someone else is invisible coming after?
I don't know.
No, that's
tough. I mean, they are going to make a sequel, I'm sure. Because
The Invisible Man 2. They should have, like, even more invisible.
The Invisible Woman.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to
actually. Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates.
and
Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford, what is she doing?
I don't know. The only reason I thought of her is because, did you ever see Fair Game?
Yes, with Alec Baldwin, because he's naked in it. Not Alec Baldwin, Billy Baldwin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I liked Billy Baldwin in Sliver.
Yeah.
And
Backdraft.
Oh.
I'm going back. Draft.
And Alec Baldwin was hot in, what was the movie he was in with Kim Basinger?
Kim Basinger?
Yeah, because didn't they meet and that's how they got married?
The Disney film that with like that went off the rails. I know this.
Cool World.
But that's Kim Basinger and Brad Pitt.
Oh.
So not Alec Baldwin at all.
Hey, by the way, we're not verifying anything.
You know, God no.
Wait, these could even be the wrong titles to movies.
No, The Marrying Man also starred Elizabeth Shue, and she was also in a movie about invisible people called
Piranha.
No. Remember she
Hollow Man. Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon.
Which is basically the same thing as The Invisible Man.
It is. Yeah, I guess hollow, but yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, the thing is, by the way, we're playing like 6 degrees
of
movies.
I brought it back.
And she was in Piranha with Christopher Lloyd, who was in Back to the Future with
Elizabeth Shue.
No, she was. Oh, she was. Wait. She's the girl. Wait, is she the girlfriend?
Yeah, she plays.
No, that's not
her.
Yes,
yes, yes. She was in 2 and 3. Remember, because they had to replace Claudia Wells
from who was Marty's girlfriend.
Yes, who was her name? Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Oh my God.
Wait, Elizabeth Shue played Jennifer in the second one
and the third.
But like the first one ends where they're like taking off, and the second one literally begins right there. So they just put a different actress in.
Yeah, she couldn't. Claudia Wells. I can't remember. I think her mom passed away. So
I was just gonna say, why would she ever not take that movie?
Oh,
it was so
like
big.
To make big blockbusters and make money. For
of
the
course,
rest of,
of course not. Just like Cindy Crawford. No, just keep it to
Cindy
one movie.
Cindy Crawford and Kathy Bates in the sequel.
The Invisible Woman starring Cindy Crawford and Kathy Bates. We got a winner.
Does she even make movies anymore, Cindy Crawford?
I don't think she does anything anymore.
Well, why would she? Her husband has an alcohol company.
Does she?
Well, yeah. Does she?
Does she? Well, Kathy Bates is on American Horror Story. Oh, and by the way, they just announced the next season, and they're getting all the favorites
Sarah Paulson back,
like Tim's favorite, Sarah Paulson, Evan Peters, Kathy Bates. No Emma Roberts, though, and I like Emma Roberts.
I do, too. She's fine. But you know who I don't like? Anna Kendrick.
Is she... Oh,
the only reason I bring her up is because she's on the television right now.
I know, which means we probably should get to the end.
We gotta watch
this.
The Bachelor, kids.
I know, we're about to watch the Bachelor finale.
Yeah,
don't let her go.
That's right.
Don't let her go. Sorry,
tonight,
that's the Bachelor's
we don't know
mom.
If what's the name of the Bachelor?
Madison or Hannah Ann?
Pilot Pete is either going to pick Madison, Hannah Ann, or
Hannah B.
We
want her to pick Hannah B and bring her back, but I think she's going to pick Madison, who gave him a, oh my God, is this going to turn into a Bachelor? No, we got to end this.
Okay, let's end it. Matt, it's been great.
Thanks for doing this.
Have a great day.
That's it.
Have a great evening.
Have a great evening. Bye.
Go see a movie, bitch.